Is it 2 o'clock?
Yeah, close enough.
Good afternoon, Carla. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Mayor. Well, thank you.
Good, good, good. All right, we're ready to go?
Yes.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is the afternoon session, January 11th, 2018, of the Portland City Council. Carla, could you please call the roll?
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Udaly?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here. Colleagues, we only have one item today. Carla, could you call the item, please?
Item 42, five-year update of the Neighborhood Prosperity Network.
Colleagues, the City Council adopted 6 micro-urban renewal areas in 2012 called the Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative Districts, otherwise known as NPIs, because in Portland we can't name anything without an acronym that isn't easy to remember. In September, I joined community members in the board of our 42nd Avenue Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative District in a walking tour of the district, and I had the opportunity to meet with different business leaders to discuss some of the district's opportunities and some of the challenges that they were experiencing. Our 42nd Avenue is one of 8 such districts that make up the Neighborhood Prosperity Network here in the city of Portland. This is a community-driven model, which I think is very important, and it's focused on economic development within specific communities to ensure that businesses grow and strengthen as we invest in areas that have historically been underserved. The Neighborhood Prosperity Network encompasses 8 community partner organizations that are working to foster economic development in our city. Those organizations are Alberta Main Street, the Cully Boulevard Alliance, the Division Midway Alliance, Historic Park Rose, the Jade District, our 42nd Avenue, Rosewood Initiative, and the St. John's Center for Opportunity. This program focuses on what the city of Portland can do to help small businesses in particular. And what you're going to hear about today is the result of our efforts. I'm proud that our city has taken such intentional and deliberate efforts to help support small and local businesses. And I'm particularly pleased with the effort to focus on communities of color and women-owned businesses here in the city of Portland. This support is crucial to the growth and economic development in our city, and the Neighborhood Prosperity Network has made great strides in making sure that Portland is a more equitable city and helps to inject wealth into communities that have been too long ignored. I want to particularly commend Prosper Portland on their efforts, and today we have the opportunity to hear from Kimberly Branham, who is the director, and Dana DeKline from Prosper Portland, who will provide a 5-year update on the Neighborhood Prosperity Network. So good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners.
We welcome you.
Thank you for having us. We're really excited to be here today to give you an update on the last 5 years in the Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative and the network. It's really become the city's signature community economic development effort. And as the mayor mentioned, the overarching objective is inclusive economic growth. So this is a cornerstone of Prosper Portland's work to form a more equitable economy in Portland, to do with partners to support equitable wealth creation, increase access to employment, and create healthy, connected communities that people really connect, where people feel connected to one another and to the rest of the city. What we've learned in this is that with these partnerships, we can together create great outcomes. And we are delighted to be able to say that we have met or exceeded our objectives over the 5 years. And we believe that the next 5 years will also include some transformative opportunities that the Neighborhood Prosperity Network can take advantage of. So I'm going to just provide some context and talk a little bit about the program itself and how we got here. And then Dana, who is the program manager for the Neighborhood Prosperity Network, is going to talk a little bit about the accomplishments and some of the things that we've learned along the way, because this was an innovative approach and we didn't have it all figured out when we started. And so there have been some really good lessons that we've learned. And so Dana will talk about that. And then we're fortunate to be able to be joined by some of the partners who are on the ground and the businesses that we've been working with, and so you'll have an opportunity to hear from them as well. So the story of the Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative initiative districts begins in 2009. Portland City Council at the time supported us in creating three main streets, which were supported by Prosper Portland and really built on that model, which is a historic preservation, but also a community-led, community-driven model. And in 2011, City Council and Prosper Portland adopted the Neighborhood Economic Development Strategy. At its heart, the strategy was focused on understanding that in order to have the kind of inclusive economic growth, and in order for us to do our work better in the neighborhoods, we needed to have a community-centered approach. It also understood and helped us focus on applying a social and racial equity lens into the work that we were doing. The third thing that the Neighborhood Economic Development Strategy clarified for us was that while there was a lot of community capacity around planning and engagement and affordable housing within our city, in comparison to other cities, we didn't have the same level of community capacity around economic development. And so in partnership with Venture Portland and others, we identified the need to support this community collectively to build out the ability to support local businesses and to direct their future within their neighborhoods. And finally, the Neighborhood Economic Development Strategy identified the need for small-scale but really important resources that could be used to support this community-driven community economic development work. And so the six districts were identified and invited to participate, which was also something of a new model. The districts were selected based on the fact that they had commercial activity. So these are all commercially zoned main streets, but they had lagging commercial investments. They had higher levels of people of color than the city as a whole, higher concentrations of poverty, and there was some existing community capacity. So there was a level of excitement or cohesion within the districts that we knew we could build on. And each of the districts went through a process of determining whether they wanted to participate, and they decided that they did. All six of them determined that they would move forward. And the commitment on their part was that they would be organized as a nonprofit, that they would hire a full-time district manager, that they would establish a community-directed board, and that they would secure volunteer and community support, both volunteer hours and financial support.
So, Kimberly, before you move off that slide, some people might notice that while you're talking about six NPIs, there are actually seven things shown on that chart. Why is that?
So both Alberta Main Street and St. John's, which is on the upper right-hand corner of the map, were part of the original Main Street network. And they have transitioned to be part of the Neighborhood Prosperity Network. They are within the Interstate Urban Renewal Area, so they have resources through that and not through the micro-urban renewal areas.
Very good. Thank you.
Yep. So City Council supported and adopted the creation of the six Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative commercial districts, and through that, about $1 million will be dedicated within each of these districts. And the fact that the districts don't access long-term debt and the fact that the community decides where resources will be invested are both innovations, and it was a new way of us to utilize the tool of urban renewal. We also were really pleased that both City Council and Multnomah County decided to invest the revenue sharing resources into these districts. And so rather than having all of the resources focused exclusively on capital investments, there's some flexibility in those resources that you and the Multnomah County Board have dedicated are eligible for more flexible non-capital uses. So The woman here is in the audience, Tonda McFarian, and she has been a business owner on Cully Boulevard for 37 years. She was a steering committee member, and she, along with many others, put a lot into creating new organizations. It was a significant lift, and I want to recognize the efforts that individual business members and community members and the district managers, many of whom are here with us today, have dedicated to really creating positive community outcomes. Prosper Portland staff have helped be steward of public resources and have provided technical support as well as their own thought leadership and partnership. And so we have a number of grant products that you see here. So we provide resources to support the full-time district manager through an admins and operations grant, promotions to increase the visibility and community connections, technical assistance that is tailored to build organizations' capacity, and then district improvements, which is where the tax increment finance funds are available for physical improvements. So in addition to Dana, there are two other Prosper Portland staff who are liaisons to the districts. Amy Fleck-Rosetti is here in the audience with us today, and Damian Crowder is the other person. He's not able to be with us. But they really, as I mentioned, have poured their hearts into this work, and so I want to recognize them in particular. So with that, I'll turn it over to Dana to talk a little bit about what we've accomplished.
Thank you. So the district organizational goals of this programming was really around organizational capacity, small-scale physical improvements within the business districts, business development support, and district promotions. What we learned really quickly from the district managers was that the community members really needed access to employment assistance, and so employment became an additional focus for the network. I'm going to go through a couple of the highlights of what the accomplishments are. First of all, around community building, our Prosper Portland provides a $3,000 promotion grant that is matched by community members to help with the visibility of the district. Initially, those funds were utilized for communication methods, building out websites, listening sessions within the district. And as time went on, districts grew their community building activities to signature events, such as the Jade Night Market, which is pictured here on the right. That Jade Night Market, on the third year, this last August, they had two night events and brought 25,000 people from visitors and community members to celebrate the diversity and culture of the community that lives and works around the the network or the district. In addition, two districts now are sponsoring organizations of their community farmer market. The picture here on the left is a vendor at the St. John's Farmers Market. Both St. John's Center for Opportunity and our 42nd Avenue are providing access to fresh fruits and vegetables through local farmers markets to their low-income community members, oftentimes supported through the SNAP benefits, as well as place for the community members who have small businesses to show their crafts and art products. So, and in addition to those two things, all of our businesses also, or districts are also creating either business seminars or business networking events to ensure that there's a constant communication within their districts with their communities. Business development has long been a priority of Prosper Portland, and we have provided business technical assistance, long-term business technical assistance for qualifying small businesses throughout the city for many years. What was made clear in the NPIs is that many of the districts' businesses didn't qualify for the existing program that we had created, but we really wanted to ensure that these businesses could grow and expand their own businesses within the NPIs. And so we created a light touch program through the assistance of general fund money. So now we have two business technical assistance and two models. So we have the long-term businesses, which business technical assistance, which 197 businesses within the first 4 years accessed through the network districts, and then 542 businesses received the light touch model to help with expanding and strengthening their businesses. As I had indicated earlier, the community economic development did not originally have workforce as a priority. What we learned quickly was that the community members needed jobs to help stabilize their lives. Seems clear in all of these communities are higher levels of poverty, higher levels of underemployment than the rest of the city. Our WorkSource system has a training program that assists with underemployed community members, but many of the community members in our districts were needing access to jobs to help fill the need of their everyday lives right now. And so districts began to take the lead in filling these needs by providing job boards and career fairs to support that connection. And then in 2015, Prosper Portland piloted the Workforce Navigator Program to strengthen the existing WorkSource system. A picture here is of Mulu, the Workforce Navigator at 42nd and Cully. She has become a trusted advisor in the community and has been very successful in connecting local residents to finding employment opportunities. We built on this model and have expanded the Navigator Program to help support provide a workforce navigator in the Jade and Division Midway districts as well, and are working with our partners at WSI to continue to build out this model in hopes to be able to support the other districts in the future. And finally, another example of the creative solutions around how do we connect people to employment came from Rosewood. They found many community members had barriers to access employment due to criminal history. In partnership with the DA's office and the Metropolitan Public Defenders, they piloted a legal services day. The goal was to remove fines in exchange for community service hours and reduce, or in some cases, expunge criminal records. These actions have a direct, immediate impact on the community's members' ability to access employment. This pilot has been successful and is now offered every 2 months at Rosewood Initiative Community Center. In each event, they have about 200 people that walk through the doors that begin to work to identify what needs to happen to be able to help them move through this process. And in the third event alone, they had 45 people finish the process, waived $185,000 in fines in exchange for community service. Very impactful for their community. So what we originally assumed that the community organizations would focus on were their small-scale projects as storefront, signage, lighting, and utilize the TIF funds that were becoming available as the throughout the life of the district. What became clear is the community-led development is more than just small-scale improvements. It involves building relationships with businesses and property owners in the district to understand the pulse of the community and be able to get ahead of the property transfer discussion. The district managers are able to provide property owners information about lease activities and interest in the districts, and then utilize their TIF funds to help assist with tenant improvements to help offset the cost of leases. Since the NPI URAs were not bonded and are utilizing de jure, access to capital has been a challenge. So Prosper Portland, with the help of the City General Funds, thank you very much, created the NPI Opportunity Fund. This is specifically to help the gap of the acquisition piece of the property activities. This is a revolving loan fund to assist in slowing down the market pressures and ensuring that community developers have the opportunity to invest in the community. R42nd Avenue purchased the property shown on the slide here from a longtime property owner with the assist of the NPI Opportunity Fund. And the district is now negotiating and close to finalizing the sale of the property to a local business owner and negotiating community benefit agreements to ensure that the priority community members, such as Guillermo, who's also shown in this picture, from Northwest Ironworks, is able to stabilize his business within the district. So we now have a network of human-focused economic development professionals that are working together to build a dynamic community economic development model in the city of Portland. The five-year network outcomes show this impact. There has been more than $3.5 million of private leverage, of funds leveraged through the 5 years, as well as more than 137,000 volunteer hours poured into the community economic development activities in these districts. There are 152 new businesses within the network, and more than 1,100 jobs have been created. Of course, there's many lessons learned. First, there's a tailored approach. We each district, allowing the community members to build their programming that best meets the needs of their community is clearly a successful model, but it does take time. And then in addition, it takes time to build the trust and relationship. Prosper Portland is showing up differently and asking for participation in a different way within our community. It takes time to build the lines of communication in an authentic way. Fundraising is challenging and time-consuming, and especially when it comes to operations. Foundations are much more interested in funding programs and projects. However, what I want to highlight on this graph here is that in the fifth year, the districts did have $1 million worth of funding outside of our Prosper Portland funds. So it is working. And as I stated before, the access to capital is necessary to secure those community benefits. So our next steps, Prosper Portland staff will continue to support boards and organizations to create the community economic development infrastructure that the City of Portland needs. With our partnership with WSI, we are continuing to work on opportunities to expand the Workforce Navigator network throughout the NPI network. And then we will continue to support the community-led property development and investigate the access to capital to fund this work. That can be done in several ways. We can come to identify potential development projects that could access the new market tax credits if we get that allocation, potential for looking at larger urban renewal areas. And we're contracting with a professional grant writer to assist with the network districts to successfully building on their fundraising efforts. I do have we're moving into our testimony section, but we do have a video that we'd like to show you. It's a great example of how the community-centered economic development activity can impact people's lives. And this story shows Valerie is a perfect example of how Rosewood did just that. Let me see if I can do this.
Statistically, I should be dead, strung out. I should be trafficked. I should be locked up. There was this particular time where I was like, I just wish I was dead. And the individual had turned around and went and got a 9mm and put my hand over their hand and, you know, put it to my head, like, pull the trigger. If that's what you really want to do, then do it.
So I'm walking by and I just see this woman sweeping up.
She's like, wow, everybody needs to do stuff like this.
This is so cool that you're helping out.
And she was really positive and happy and stuff.
But she's got kind of a sour look on her face.
I was homeless.
She didn't have custody of her kids. She didn't have a car. She didn't have a job. And then I invited her to this meeting that we were having.
When I come to a meeting and I was like, I didn't know what the hell meetings were. I knew that there was more to life. And I didn't know where to look. I didn't even know where to look at. Like, it was like literally standing in the library and not knowing how to read. So when I went to the first meeting, she was like, oh my gosh, you came. And I didn't know what the hell they were talking about.
I was looking for people that were motivated to change this community and to change their own lives.
It took probably about 3 meetings. And she was just like, yeah, come tomorrow. We're going to have. And then she was like, yeah, come Thursday. And because as soon as I figured out what they were talking about, I understood that these were professionals. They got paid to be in that meeting. And I was like, so what you're doing is you're trying to help the community. And then once I found out like what they were doing, I was like, this is natural to me.
She was volunteering and kind of helping build the organization. So she did a lot to connect Rosewood with the community.
Jenny gave me a chance. And she heard me out. And she was like, yeah, let's ride. Like, let's do it. Let's go.
I think that they come here because this place is a hub, and they know that if they can't get the services that they need here, they can at least come in and feel safe.
And everyone's doing great. And my daughter is amazing. She's my sidekick.
I do what I do because I am passionate about it. I do it for the people, but I also do it for her.
It's amazing to see how the community owns this space and transforms it into what they need it to be.
Rosewood is an incubator for potential and for dreams.
So we do have some folks who are here. We'd be happy to take questions now or to bring up our partners.
Colleagues, any preference? Why don't we hear from your partners? And traditionally, we don't take testimony on reports. But we have a small group of people here, only one agenda item. So today I will make that exception. You've already invited some people up. And if there's other people who are not invited who would like to say something, please sign up with Carla.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Great.
My name is William Travis III, and I own Dub St. John's. It's a restaurant in St. John's. I'm really happy to have been able to work with St. John's Center for Opportunity, Prosper Portland, and MISO, Micro Enterprise Services of Oregon. They helped to take my business to the next level with some of the prosperity initiative programs and the grants that were available. We had new signage, new lighting, flooring, and some other things. But I really feel like it's a great program that is allowing members of the community to access the capital that sometimes isn't available to minorities or people of color, and having programs like that, working with Lindsay and Damian Crowder, it just gives you a little more hope about being able to succeed in our chosen fields.
Thank you.
You're very
Appreciate
welcome.
It.
Thank you.
My name is Tonda McFerrin, and I own a business on Cully Boulevard. I've been there since 1980, 37 years. And when I came to Cully, we weren't even on the map. In fact, we were in the county when I came. And no one in Portland had really heard of Cully. But now, in the last 5 years, since MPI came, everybody knows who we are. And we're growing. I have had grants because I'm a member of the steering committee. Been a member of the steering committee since the very beginning for 5 years. And when they came, I didn't even know my neighbors. I didn't know the other businesses in the community. But since then, we come together. We sit at the table. We know each other. We speak to each other. We get grants. I just had a new roof put on my building, and I'm in line to get my floor fixed and my parking lot and many other things this spring. But I'm a Portland girl. I went to Jefferson High School, Boise Elementary School, so I've been around a long time. I've had many of my friends and my clients live in other neighborhoods in Alberta, Martin Luther King, and they all got grants and built their businesses for many years. So I've been waiting for MPI to come to Portland, to my part of Portland, so 37 years. So now they're here. And I want them to stay here, and because we need them, and we want them, and that's about it.
That's great.
What kind of business do you have?
I have a beauty salon.
Candelera.
Yes.
Yeah, tell us the name of it. Where is it?
Pardon me?
Tell us the name of it.
Tondelera's Designer Salon.
Thank you.
My name is Tondelera.
Nice.
Great. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I have to say, Dub is amazing and knows everybody. When that video went on, he was like, oh, I know that person and this person. I was quite entertained. But my name is Lindsay Jensen. I'm the director at the St. John Center for Opportunity. Thank you for having us here today. It's great to be able to come and speak about our programming. Our organization is really proud to be a part of the Neighborhood Prosperity Network and really grateful to all of you for continuing to invest in our programming and our network of organizations. SJCO had a slightly different start than others, as we were founded as a Main Street organization, which, after some soul-searching and really committing to making equity the center of our programming, changed our name to better reflect our mission and vision. We're also a little different from other network members because we're a part of the larger interstate urban renewal area versus a specially created URA. But I actually think that makes our work all the more important. To quote my colleague Mingus, our goal is to flip the way that urban renewal is done on its head and to do economic development that's driven by the community. So we have 36 dedicated volunteers who work with us regularly to coordinate our programming and services, plus we have many other folks who come out to help with neighborhood events. We have embedded a community organizing model into our work so that we can regularly touch base with businesses and volunteers so that we know what's going on in our community and to make our work that much more impactful. A few of our core programs include our storefront improvement grant, which to date we've invested more than $97,000 in local storefront businesses. We also have our partnership with MISO, which provides one-on-one coaching to businesses in the community. The St. John's Farmers Market is another one of our core programs, which we're entering our 10th season this year. Our food equity work via the farmers market, which we've invested over $30,000 in our community for folks to access fresh fruits and vegetables. We have a neighborhood jobs board, which we receive around 300 hits per month from community members accessing our jobs board. We also do quarterly art walks in our business district. And we have regular Meet the Employer events where we highlight or bring in businesses and highlight opportunities in our neighborhood for people looking for work. We also do some other work in the community centered around affordable housing advocacy, leadership development, and ensuring that residents have access to key resources. We do a lot of important work with a relatively small budget. We've often been referred to as the small but mighty organization. And I know I'm biased when I say this, but I truly believe that the work of the Neighborhood Prosperity Network is some of the most important work happening in this city. So thank you all for believing in us and for continuing to invest in this community-driven model of doing economic development work. And as I say at all of our board and committee meeting, I say, onward, my friends.
Very good. Excellent. Thank you, all three of you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Appreciate
thank you,
it.
Commissioners.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk about the city's investment in the J District. First, as a business owner in the J District for over 20 years and as the volunteers that have been helping our community all these years, I would like to thank the former mayor, Sam Adams' decision to include J District in the initial proposal as one of the MPIs. As a Chinese immigrant, I have firsthand experience in how difficult as an immigrant coming to a whole new world and start from the very beginning to build up our career and making a better life here. The 82nd Avenue around J District is where the Chinese community called the New Chinatown. While everyone saying that 82nd Avenue is full of crime and prostitution and all it has is secondhand car lots, but we Chinese immigrants, along with the other immigrants there, we are working so hard to build up our businesses and make a living there around the J District. We have been contributing so much to the economic growth there, but all these years, we did everything on our own. We don't know where to and how to get help. And we were not informed and have no say in what will be happening around us. Most of us are working so hard to buy properties so as to secure our living and a place here. Till this new Chinatown was selected one of the MPI and was named J District a few years ago, then we started to be noticed and seemed being cared for and sometimes even can have voices in some of the public projects. Thanks for the city's investment in J District. Like the annual big event that just mentioned, the J International Night Market we put up, which attracts over 20,000 people at this two nights event. I believe a lot of people from other part of town came to because of coming to the night market. They know more about J District. They know instead of just secondhand car lots, there are a lot of things that they never seen or never know of. And in our community, business owners are pleased to see new customers coming into J to explore and to enjoy the rich and diversified culture here, like eating dim sum in a Chinese restaurant or having pho in a Vietnamese restaurant or buying Asian grocery stores. And the vision and 80-second safety has been a highlight topic in last year for J. I remember in December 2016, one of our community members lost his life on division. So I have been helping the community to raise money to help his family. But our surprise, the city took it seriously and responded quickly by providing us funds to educate our community about road safety and to do some improvement. So we see more crossing, more lights. And then I personally lead the road safety seminar, and we had over 180 Chinese community members show up with the help of PBOT staff. All of us went onto the street and learned the right way of crossing the road safely. I firmly believe without the J District operation, our community surely won't have chances like this. Through these years, the image of the city has been changed in our community members' mind. It changed from neglecting us to willing to hear our voices and offer help. And end of last year, the J office was able to connect most of our Chinese business owners with PBOT to learn about the division redesign project. The proposed project, proposed design, really shocked a lot of us. Under this new proposed design, the division will be separated completely into south and north. Business owners are so worried because we all believe the design will kill the businesses eventually. We're all afraid that people just show us the design, set up the meeting, let us talk, but at the end, they just do it in their own way. When deliveries cannot be made, customers cannot come in the store easily like before, and all the parkings are gone. The properties these business owners have been worked so hard to buy in order to run their businesses securely will become a burden for them. It just ruined all the effort of these immigrants who have been working so hard all these years in order to have a better life in U.S. So I hope the city will continue to listen to our community members and shape investments from the city to fit the needs of the community rather than imposing them on us. Last, I would like to say I have been publishing the Chinese language newspaper, the Portland Chinese Times, in town for over 20 years here, and I have seen how the community has changed. And I also noticed that with J District around, things go so differently. It acts as a bridge between the city and the community. It makes sure that the city knows what we think, and the most important thing is we are not working alone. Like in the past, we get attentions, we get helps, and we know that it's so difficult to work with communities in the J District because there are so many languages speaking there. So we hope that J District will continue to operate, and because we still need support from the public investments. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Commissioner Fritz.
Could you give us your name?
My name is Rosalyn Hui.
And your business is the Portland Chinese Times?
Portland Chinese Times.
Thank you very much for presenting.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. Thank you for having me. My name is Todd Struble, and I'm the J District Manager. I wanted to say, first of all, thank you so much for your support of the JAMS project that's happening on 82nd Division. That's the furniture store that will eventually be affordable housing and a community center. We drove by on the way over here, and we can confirm that it's gone. It was demoed over the last week, and so it looks completely different, and we're really excited to see what changes that project brings to the community. So thank you for your support. I just wanted to follow up, and you know, when we were preparing for this, we had a conversation about what I think is going to be the biggest impact on the community going forward. What are my concerns? And what Rosalind mentioned were some of the PBOT project and the TriMet project that are going through our neighborhood. We've seen some really really strong accomplishments, including the night market and the JAMS project. And we know these in transit investments and infrastructure improvements really have the chance to make a positive impact on our community. But the implementation of the investment is just as important as the investment itself. And if we can do it in the same model that you know, the economic development model of being community driven and interacting with the business owners that are in that neighborhood and seeing what their concerns and challenges are, we find that to be, like, that's what I'm really concerned about with these investments coming forward. So I'm hoping that we can continue to work with PBOT on the project that's coming through with the safety. The education piece has been wonderful, but we're, ourselves and Division Midway, the business owners, are very concerned about what the designs will, what's in the details of those designs and how it will impact their businesses. And similarly with the TriMet and Division Transit Project investment, we know we've had the support of funding for a coordinator to do outreach to the business owners in that in the neighborhood along the corridor. And my understanding is that there's going to be an ad package that includes funding to continue that work. And our coordinator, Lynn Doan, has done an amazing job supplementing the outreach that we're doing. And I would just ask that the city continue to support that work and support that ad package. So I want to say thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Don. I appreciate it. And Commissioner Saltzman obviously isn't here today, but I'll make sure your concerns are passed along to PBOT. Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is that the end of the invited panel? I don't know if there's anybody else who wanted to come up and speak for 2 minutes on this subject.
Taking testimony.
Don't break my clock. Good afternoon.
And good afternoon. And if I might, before I state my name, I find it unusual that you'd only give me 2 minutes when there's not one other public speaker in here. So I'm going to ask for 3 minutes if you would allow that, presiding officer.
Let's start with the 2 minutes and see where you go with it.
That's fair enough, but unreasonable. Again, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Watchdog X. Again, to the business owners in here, I absolutely agree with the direction you're going. I absolutely agree with the grants that have been given to you. And again, I wish you continued success in the direction you're going. Now, my position may be a little different than a lot of people in here, is that from Prosper Portland, and again, no, nothing negative against the director of Prosper Portland, my position at this point is that I think Prosper Portland should be consolidated into the Portland Housing Bureau. Why I say that, and to business owners in here, Prosper Portland is beginning to have to increase their revenue off their current holdings within the city. And by doing that, they will begin to compete with the other people in the community. And at this point, they know that they're going to have to increase their income tremendously over the next few years to really survive. And what I'm asking is to consolidate Prosper Portland into the Portland Housing Bureau, continue the services to these good people in here and their businesses. I don't want to take the money away from them by any means. But what we need to do is start understanding the city is not set up to compete against local business owners. That is not the purpose of the city. And when we start to see our numbers not make sense, we have to downsize. And every business in here understands that from their position. If you can't make it work, you learn to downsize. You learn to make it with little that you can to survive. They are not going to survive without increasing their rents dramatically. I'm asking you to consolidate Prosper Portland, move it into the Portland Housing Bureau, and cut the cost tremendously. As you know, the revenue's not going to be there. And where's it going to come from? I don't want them competing with the fine business owners throughout the community.
Good.
Thank you.
Provocative idea, and please bring that back during the budget process. We're looking for innovative thinking. So,
and I appreciate the 2 minutes, and I know you won't give me three,
you didn't need it. You actually did a very good job.
Thank you very much.
Commissioner Fish.
I move the adoption of the report.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fish. We have a second from Commissioner Fritz. Colleagues, any further questions or discussion items? Carla, please call the roll.
Fritz.
Thank you to everybody who is here. We have some days on the council, yesterday comes to mind, which are pretty thankless, and I sometimes question whether we're actually doing any good. I know that other people question whether we're doing any good too. But Commissioner Fish and I have served on this council for over nine years now, and this report makes me really proud and happy to have been part of the recovery from the recession, to have worked with Mayor Sam Adams, as somebody pointed out. It was really his initiative that got this going. And investing in the community so that the community can make decisions. And each one of the 6 and now 8 districts are very different, and they should be, and they're delightful. And I'm proud of the partnerships that have come over the years, the Cully Association of Neighbourhoods, as well as Living Cully and Verde and others, the Cully Concordia Neighbourhood Plan. There's a lot of things that have gone into making it all work, and I'm seeing Laura and others in the meeting today who've been watching it all the way, sometimes very quietly. So thank you, Laura Young, and the work that you and others have done in Cully and in each of these districts. What a remarkable story about how a little bit of investment, and let's thank the county as well for agreeing that their dollars can stay in the districts where they come from, and let's keep doing this. Thank you so much for being here. Aye.
Fish.
Thank you for an excellent report. We especially appreciate it when business people take time out of their busy lives to come and tell us about their stories. And one of the things I always appreciate about Commissioner Fritz, and she's always prompting people to put a little plug on Channel 30 about their businesses. But you're taking time away from your day job, and you're here to tell us part of your story. There is no substitute for hearing from you about your story and your passion. So thank you very much for taking that time. You know, I was listening to Lightning and cringing when he proposed merging the Housing Bureau and Prosper Portland, because I've been on the council long enough to remember when Mayor Adams charged me with taking housing out of what was then called the Portland Development Commission, now Prosper Portland. And now, 7 years later, there's an idea to put them back. All I will say, the mayor, who seemed to warm up to that idea, is I do not volunteer for that assignment.
It's yours. It's yours, Commissioner.
St. Peter's store.
There you go. There you go. Thank you for an excellent report. And we appreciate the time and energy that went into this. And I'm very pleased to accept the report. Bye.
You Daly.
Well, thank you for the report. I have to say I've been watching 42nd Avenue develop and unfold with interest because it's relatively close to where I live, and I've been so pleased to see small businesses flourishing there. And up until recently, I didn't know that Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative had anything to do with it. So it just goes to show you that with some intention and with some resources, how well we can help our local small businesses flourish. I owe Historic Park Rose and the Rosewood Initiative area visits. I'm at least a semi-regular, if not a regular, the rest of these districts. So I'm looking forward to discovering some new exciting restaurants and shops out there. Aye.
Wheeler.
Well, thank you, everybody who provided testimony today, people who came to share your stories And I always enjoy hearing success stories about small business because, as you know, we are a small business city. That isn't to say we don't love our large employers. We do. But the vast majority of people in Portland work for small business owners and operators. And as the demographics in our community change, it's particularly important that we focus, as we are through the NPI program, on communities that have historically been underserved. I love the work that NPI does and the work that Prosper Portland is doing. It's the nuts and bolts of small business support, technical assistance, both on a temporary basis and on a long-term basis. It's providing critical networking for small business owners and operators so that they can have the opportunity to share ideas and collectively address challenges. So much is being done around employment and ensuring that we're connecting people in our community with economic prosperity opportunities, job fairs, career fairs, workforce navigation, legal services, all of those kinds of services that are being provided through this program, I think are critically important to connecting people with the resources they need to be economically prosperous here in our community. And there is never enough that we can do around commercial affordability and making sure that people can continue to have access to workplaces. And certainly it's very important for us to continue to address issues around access to capital, which this program does. So I am very satisfied to hear the results of this report. I think they are overwhelmingly positive. I would like to remind people that this is only one thing that the city of Portland does, and it's only one thing that Prosper Portland does with regard to small business support. There's much more that we do. That said, I think there's much more that we can continue to do in the years ahead. And people came up here and suggested some very good ideas. So thank you all for being here today. This was excellent. Commissioner Fritz will have the last word.
Well, there's a couple of things I forgot. First of all, recognizing that Rosewood and the partnership with the Portland Parks and Recreation is particularly meaningful to me. So I want to thank you for the video. That was very, very moving. And second of all, wishing you a happy birthday to my father-in-law, Colonel Edward Spritz, who I would expect is watching in Cherrywood Village. So as a point of personal privilege, happy birthday, Dad.
So happy birthday to Commissioner Fritz's dad. I vote aye. The report is accepted. Thank you, everybody. We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Leaders and stores, thanks you all up there. Take care of the small business owners when you say it. Leaders and stores, small business owners, okay. Watch what they're doing.
So lightning. I tried to give you an opportunity.